From KUAR News in Little Rock, this is a look at Arkansas news, politics, and more. Coming up, the future of healthcare in Arkansas is considered by state lawmakers. They came together in a special session to consider the governor's plan to continue the state's Medicaid expansion, what has been known as the private option, now becoming Arkansas Works. We covered it as a team this week at the Capitol, so that'll be the topic for the entire podcast. I'm Michael Heplin.
I'm Chris Hickey.
And I'm Jacob Kaufman.
That's just ahead. There was just one bill being considered this week, and it came down to a final vote Friday morning.
With 68 yeas, 27 nays, the bill, and one present, the bill and the emergency clause have passed.
That was in the Arkansas House. In the Senate, an identical version passed 25-10. The Medicaid expansion plan allowing coverage for more than 250,000 Arkansans. And a short time later, Governor Asa Hutchinson held a signing ceremony. You can kind of faintly make out the sound of him scribbling out his signature using the multiple pens. His cameras click in the background. He was surrounded by lawmakers, those who had supported him during this.
All right, we got it there. All right, so Arkansas Worked has been signed into law. Thank you all very much. Let's see here. Collins.
Thank you, sir.
Man then handed out the ceremonial pins to the other lawmakers. And he really took this as a success for the state, took pride in how this came together.
What we're signing today, the Arkansas Works legislation, is the result of an extraordinary effort by a number of key legislators, but it also reflects the best of democracy. It reflects people who disagree on a point saying that we can come together, we can be practical, and find a practical solution for the state of Arkansas.
But Jacob, Chris, it was actually a little more complicated and nuanced maybe than the governor implied there in that initial statement.
Supporters of Arkansas Works certainly wanted to promote that there's a lot of unity on this, there's a lot of teamwork involved, involved Democrats. We heard Linda Chesterfield laughing in the background there. And Republicans working together. However, the Republican caucus is split almost in half in this. I think in the House it ended up being 35 Republicans voted for it, 29 voted against. In the Senate, I think it was 14-10. And this will matter later on, of course. But Chris watched the debate, I think, from the web stream while I was down at the Capitol. But did you have any thoughts about it?
I think it is clear that a lot of the opponents of the program have either been stalwart opponents from the very start when the program was named the private option and passed in 2014, or they were the most recently elected Republican lawmakers in the House or in the Senate. For instance, we had a couple of state representatives, Mary Bentley and Donnie Copeland, who were elected in the 2014 cycle. Who campaigned against the private option or campaigned to end the private option.
Saying that's what they were sent to the legislature to do, to end this program.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And they were fulfilling their promise or trying to anyways.
And really all going back to President Obama and this just being an extension of the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, they see it as a sign of big government and a continuation of this trend of expanding the national debt. They invoked the national debt quite a few times as a reason for opposition.
And there's also a little bit of I don't want to say demonization, but Mary Bentley didn't like the way the private option recipients were using the healthcare program either. There's a lot the concerns are that too many people in this program are unemployed for their taste. They really want it to be tied to some work requirement. They think there's a lot of waste and fraud and misuse and too many ER visits and things like that. But let me play one other cut, though, from Representative Bob Ballinger. He took to the floor. I spoke to him afterward as well. One of the big tools that Governor Hutchinson has been using and Charlie Collins, who opened for the bill in the House, they've been saying not only is there the human toll in terms of, you know, poor people having access to health care, but the main argument has been it's going to blow a big hole in our budget if we don't have this. So here's Bob Ballinger. He wouldn't mind if the state budget is smaller.
This is the thing, is I come down here talking about limited government and strengthening the size of government. So you give me a $66 million cut as long as we're smart. I mean, there's some areas, Child Protective Services needs more money. There's some areas like that, that, you know, the corrections, we'll have a hard time making much cutting corrections. We'll have to be smart about how we do it. But you give me a 3% across the board budget cut, and I'll smile.
Most of the other state legislators would say that if we had this big $150 million cut to the budget, the governor said it would hurt public safety and education and a number of critical services, not just uncritical kind of government fat.
You know, your mention of Mary Bentley and others' mention of waste, fraud, and abuse as a reason for opposing the program. Remember, she said, you know, there's many private option recipients or Arkansas Works now recipients go to the doctor just for to receive treatment for rashes and hangnails. And I remember that the primary sponsor of the bill,
Charlie Collins,
said, well, you know, sure, there's a cost for treating people for doctor's visits for those sorts of things, but it's going to be much more expensive to treat them in the emergency room, which is something that this program prevents in decreasing those uncompensated care costs for emergency room visits.
Right. The governor did get the changes, at least most of them, that he wanted to make to this program. The only ones he didn't were the ones that the federal officials said weren't cool.
Right. Well, we still don't know. It still has to have final federal approval, which we won't know until later on. But basically, he presented a letter in his opening remarks from the Health and Human Services Secretary, Sylvia Burwell, pretty much saying it looks good, at least on the waivers that are in there. Charlie Collins also tried to answer the national debt question raised by Bob Ballinger. He said that, sure, we all want to cut the federal debt, but this is pretty small compared to everything else that's going on. And he said it's not really fair to let this is what he said. He said, let the hotel bigwigs in New York and the L.A. fat cats keep on getting the federal money while poor Arkansans are the only ones who have decided to pay down the federal debt.
Well, what's next then, Jacob? The bill approved, but now has to go to the fiscal session to get the appropriation to actually take the money from Washington. And that's where you need the three-quarters vote.
Yeah, and the fiscal session starts next week and should probably last through the rest of the month or so. But it takes a three-quarters vote to get most or to get many state funding, at least, bills passed. This was just the enabling legislation. And so we've known all along that this would be the tougher hurdle. As we know, the margins now, at least the vote margins, so in the House, they'd have to pick up roughly 5 votes to get this passed. In the Senate, they'd have to pick up roughly 2. So real tough margins to do. Some likely people, Cecile Bledsoe maybe in the Senate, Missy Irvin maybe in the Senate. Irvin has voted for the program in the past. Cecile Bledsoe's son, Gregory Bledsoe, is the Arkansas Surgeon General who supports the program. But in the fiscal session, let's talk a little bit more with Bob Ballinger. Stick with him for a little bit. He really, of course, hopes to keep those 30 people opposed to the program together. He's not worried about them being picked off with some sort of deal-making.
Between now and then, we have to make sure that we communicate and explain what our position is and then let people make their decisions. And the reality, I mean, you guys ought to be down in the Senate and talking to those folks because that's where the real excitement is going to take place.
Got carrots or sugar plums to dangle out?
No. I don't. I mean, this is the thing, is I've been promised that those deals aren't going to happen from the other side, and I have nothing to offer. So, you know, I don't expect there to be any of that. I mean, the real thing is going to be, you know, how are you going to deal with this with your constituents? Are you willing to expand Medicaid under Obamacare, or are you not? And that's really what the people back home are going to hear. And by the way, that's coming from the right. Everybody's recognizing from the right that this is Obamacare. Everybody on the left is recognizing this is Obamacare. The question is, are we going to expand Obamacare in Arkansas or not, long-term and permanently? And that's where we're at.
And that reference from the AP reporter that asked the question there, Chuck Bartels, was that he mentioned any carrots that are being dangled out there. His last session, Senator Jane English switched her vote sort of infamously from an opposition from the private option in favor of it, sort of in exchange for getting to reprogram the Arkansas Department of Workforce Services, which she said was sort of tied to the program.
And the governor was asked, too, during the session on during the press conference Friday morning about what he might offer, what negotiations to try to sway people. And the phrase he used is, there are a lot of tools in my pocket. But apparently one of them that he says he is adamantly opposed to is Diamond Care, which was, of course, the kind of the alternative to the governor's managed care proposal. And we haven't mentioned the governor. He initially wanted his proposal for Arkansas Works to be considered along with his managed care proposal. But he eventually took that off, and he said at the beginning of the week that, okay, managed care is not going to be considered during the session. Here's the one bill.
And that sort of complicated the debate for some people, at least, because in the month leading up to this, the governor the entire time said, if we don't get these cuts or changes to traditional Medicaid, which he estimated to be over $1 billion, that we couldn't pay for Medicaid expansion. He dropped that argument entirely. So did the Republican leadership. They said, oh, these are separate issues, actually. I think our members can separate them. But I think it did complicate the issue a little bit. There'll probably be another special session for this managed care issue. And Diamond Care, it's got its bipartisan backing, at least. But neither of these plans had enough votes to get out of the health care task force. And so, I mean, we'll still see what happens with that debate. But in terms of the budget, that's actually a bigger picture than Medicaid expansion is. I wanted to talk a couple more things about the fiscal session and the showdown the governor was kind of referring to. You know, it only takes 25% of either chamber to stop this. And so I talked with a Democrat who they have 25% in both chambers, and they certainly want Arkansas Works to continue. They said, you know, if Bob Ballinger wants to run the risk of this shutdown, that's something that Democrats could pursue in the future too. Clark Tucker.
We still have 35 members in the House. It's not a majority, obviously, but it's more than the 25 necessary to hold up an appropriation. So that same stick could be used by the minority party just as easily.
Bob Ballinger said he didn't care.
Well, I mean, the answer is yes, they could do that. And I hope that if they did it in a smart place. But frankly, the debate is extremely positive for government. And even slowing down and making it where some things don't happen real fast, that's a positive for the citizens.
Well, Senate President Jonathan Dismang, Senate President Pro Tem, says he believes that that some of those who voted against this during this special session will actually come around and support this in the fiscal session. So he was encouraging people Friday not to read too much into the fact that you still don't have that 3/4% vote. And here's what he said.
I think you look historically at these votes, the policy votes and the appropriation votes have always not lined up, at least in one chamber. So I think there is some precedent, you know, amongst the members that are not supportive of the policy to in fact, support the appropriation because of, you know, recognizing the difference between the two.
But Chris, you've done a little research looking into this historically. Is Dismang correct?
Well, in a way, yes. For instance, in the last fiscal session and in the last regular session when the policy and the appropriations for what is effectively the private option or continuing the private option or the what is now Arkansas Works until December 31st was debated, about 15 House members who voted for the bill last time voted against it this time. But voting last time, I mean, it could be seen as possibly in their minds a question of, well, are we voting to end the private option this time, or are we voting against it? But
Donnie Copeland actually said, we said that we would end this. What are we doing here at this point?
Yeah, but there, this argument that there is a precedent set by previous legislative bodies that the debate should center around the policy and the appropriations bill should just be passed forthwith was also a debate that happened back in the 2014 fiscal session. I remember covering that when former state representative John Burris, who was an original sponsor of the private option legislation, when he was defending the bill during the fiscal session on the House floor, he'd make this point continually that, well, you know, the policy debates should be happening when we pass the regular bill for policy that requires just a simple majority. We vote regularly to pass appropriations for policies that we don't necessarily agree with. Maybe that argument, or, you know, John Burris actually lost an election bid to State Senator Scott Flippo, who's an ardent opponent of the program. So I don't know, maybe he was discredited in a way for that argument among some legislators. I don't know. But also Nate Bell, who's a state representative, made this point. And he even, you know, said during the 2014 fiscal session that, well, you know, there's obviously not enough legislators to stop the program outright, and there's not enough to continue it. We need to just, you know, set this aside and go forward. He proposed a compromise and ending promotion for the program. But he's somebody who's voted for the against the policy, but voted for the appropriation, and has kind of taken that path.
Well, one more cut from DeSmang here, talking to reporters, really emphasized the consequences to the state if this Medicaid expansion isn't continued.
If we do nothing, if there is not this expansion in place, Arkansas Works is not in place, then it's a $5 billion impact to our state's economy over 5 years. That is a significant percentage, you know, for a state of our size. And so I don't think you can underestimate the consequence, you know, to not having that expansion in place.
And again, back to his earlier cut, he does think more lawmakers will come around to supporting this, but here in the session and on the matter itself, he thinks a lot of the votes are on principle, but that people will eventually, you know, out of just the concern about what this would do to the state, will come on board.
And I think we already have one person we might know who has already flipped since the special session. On day two, Lori Rushing, a Republican, voted against the program. On day three, she voted present, and I hear she was at the bill signing too, standing with the other legislators that supported it. You know, this is a funny comment that I liked. It was some of the best comments. Donnie Copeland, I asked him about Jonathan Dismang, and or not Jonathan Dismang, but the arguments that the budget would be destroyed basically if we don't do this. And he doesn't believe the numbers coming from Dismang and the others. He thinks that they're exaggerating. And basically, he said we could find that money in the ashtray of state government because there's just so much waste in state government. So he's just not worried about it.
Well, the governor said he didn't want Arkansas to kind of fall back into what he said is Washington-style politics. And here's one comment from him, just that he feels Arkansas lawmakers always eventually do come together.
There's a fundamental principle of government that we need to deal with, and that is that a minority should not derail the expressed will of the majority. And that has not happened in Arkansas's history. There are tools of minority. They're important tools that can be operated with. But when it comes to a policy that is set by a majority of both parties, and then it comes to the funding of that policy, a minority should not derail the policy.
So, Jacob, you've been covering the legislature quite a while. Any prediction next week when we begin the fiscal session?
I predict they'll get the votes, and people will probably say it's, as we've been saying, that it's a matter of appropriation and not a policy debate, so they won't be as worked up about it. I think I'll probably pass. It also helps that in the fiscal session, the way that it's set up, you wouldn't just be voting for funding for Medicaid expansion. You'd also be voting for funding for all other Medicaid programs, including things like Arkansas Kids First. So that's my prediction. Chris, do you have a prediction?
I tend to agree, but I think there'll probably be some arm wringing and so forth. I mean, I don't imagine that it would happen on the first or second.
You think
vote.
If it passed with a Democratic governor, that they could get it with a Republican?
Yeah. But I mean, you know, it might take a couple of votes before they get this 3/4 majority. But I generally agree that precedent set that, you know, we tend to pass appropriations and not, you know, argue about appropriations will probably, you know, withstand.
And Obamacare is not quite the hot button issue. It was a couple of years ago. You've had court decisions that have upheld major parts of it. And it hasn't been as much of, we haven't really heard it in the presidential debate this year among the candidates. It has, you know, been a topic, but it hasn't been brought up as much as you heard about it in 2012. So any final thoughts?
We've been talking about this issue, Medicaid expansion, forever. It seems like we're almost done talking about it, but we're not really, because it'll pass the fiscal session, and then we'll have to wait until the summer, until the federal government actually approves the waivers. We'll see what they actually are. Then they have to figure out how to implement the new program and the new restrictions and requirements. And the new program, I guess, will have to start in January of next year, and we'll see what happens with the new changes. One of the big deals is that some people will be paying premiums for the first time. We'll see if they actually pay it or not, what the consequences aren't if they don't pay it. The governor wants to encourage employer-based insurance. We'll see how many recipients actually switch. If it's a small number, it doesn't really look good for him. So we'll have to see how these things actually go once they're implemented.
Go ahead.
Oh, and I'm also interested in the work referral aspect of the program, or whether or not, you know, referring people to work training or job training will actually increase the cost of government services.
And if people will take advantage of it, yeah, actually go to the work training.
And the whole issue about health care has dominated the coverage. Any other key issues, Jacob, that will become coming up that we should be also focused on?
Well, so far going into the fiscal session, at least, it's all about the state budget. Education is getting a very small raise of 1%. Any public school district or any higher education entity will tell you they need more money. They're having to raise tuition, costs are increasing, and they're not getting an increase in government support. So we'll see those battles continue to play out. And then after that, we've got a special session on highway funding, and they'll have to eventually figure out the managed care situation, too.
Yeah, a lot coming up, but we'll be there. We'll be at the Capitol covering this, and we'll have full coverage for you next week. How's that for a shameless plug? So thanks for listening. I'm Michael Heplin.
I'm Chris Hickey.
And you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or visit us at KUAR.org. I'm Jacob Kaufman.
And the podcast, we bring this to you each week. KUAR is a listener-supported service of the University of Arkansas at Little Rock.